progress will always come from Demos, from we the people.
Greece has made a tremendous comeback. We've worked with them very closely.
The United States recognizes only one legitimate government of the Republic of Cyprus.
Nothing can break the spirit of the Greek people.
Long live the friendship between Greece and the United States of America. Ευχαριστώ. Thank you very much.
I'm Thanos Davelis, and this is The Greek Current. This weekend in Thessaloniki, Prime Minister Mitsotakis laid out his vision for the coming year, announcing tax cuts and various measures to tackle the cost of living challenge facing many Greeks and the demographic crisis. Jam Saropoulos joins me today as we break down these announcements and what they mean heading into the upcoming national elections in 2027. Jam Saropoulos is an independent journalist and Al Jazeera's correspondent in Southeast Europe. He also publishes Hellenica, a weekly deep dive into Greek current affairs and history that you can find on Substack.com. John, great to have you back on with us.
Always a pleasure, Thanos.
John, Prime Minister Mitsotakis just announced, as we said, a 1.6 billion euro package of tax cuts, calling it the boldest tax reform enforced in Greece in more than 50 years. Who stands to benefit here?
The main concession was to people with lower incomes to alleviate, as you said, the cost of living. But there was a concession to higher earners to encourage repatriation. So it is a broad spectrum of people that he's appealing to. And it's a recognition that the government needs to do more to cultivate the middle class that demands better jobs and investments in the economy and is mobile, not captive, in this tax market. Economists have pointed out that the 44% upper tax rate is excessive for people earning 40,000 to 60,000 euros. So that, in a way, I would say, is the more significant political concession, because for years governments seem to have taken Greek taxpayers for granted. I think it's also politically significant that he didn't give his political clientele in the public sector a handout in place of measures that benefit everyone, more than 4 million people, he says, because on the table was an alternative concession to give public sector employees a 13th salary per year. And they are suing the government for that. And if they get it, it'll cost approximately 2 to 3 billion euros, which is going to be ruinous for Greece's currently balanced budgets and its fiscal discipline. So he made it very clear that he wasn't going to appease this very powerful special interest group, more than 600,000 public sector workers, which traditionally governments have pandered to because they can swing elections. But let's not forget that he had already given public sector workers a 700 million euro pay rise beginning in January 2024, and he's now giving the security forces another bump that had been announced in the spring of this year. So he's not left them, he's not taking risks, he's not left them unattended to altogether. Another point I'd make about these tax cuts that Mitsotakis announced for the middle class, which are very welcome, and they do point Greece in the right direction, is that the state makes relatively little from taxing income compared to consumption, because people are good at hiding their wealth. And with the exception of the Aegean Islands, there was no concession on sales tax, VAT, for example, or any other consumption taxes, which are extremely high for petrol and alcoholic beverages and other popular items. So again, there's a slight social injustice in that, because consumption tax obviously disadvantages the poor. One final observation. It's important that Mitsotakis cultivated a culture of payment. He anteed up a tax cut in rental income on rents of 12,000 to 24,000 euros a year. So if somebody is a property owner who charges between 1,000 and 2,000 euros a month in rent, they will be taxed less on that income. And he says, I know people are lying about how much they're making in rent. The average declared rent at the moment is 255 euros nationwide. And he says nobody believes that that's actually true. And he's correct. But it's interesting that he's putting this forward as an invitation to property owners to voluntarily declare their honest rental income. And that is a rare instance of a Greek politician actually trying to drive the state towards cultivating a culture of payment.
John Mitsotakis also made a point to stress that this plan and other measures that were announced are designed to address Greece's demographic crisis. And I know this is something that we've discussed in depth in the past on this show, and I'll even include a link in the show notes so that people can head back and listen to our previous episode. But do you see these plans enticing Greek families to choose to have more children or any children?
I think the measures for the young are very welcome. They are substantial. They basically abolish income tax for anyone up to the age of 25, and they halve it for anyone 25 to 30, which Mitsotakis very rightly points out is the age when people are actually beginning to think about marriage and settling down and moving into their own properties as couples. It is a crucial age. It's a crucial time to give people tax relief. And these measures for the young are basically designed to prevent more people from leaving. It's an indirect admission that the state hasn't done enough over the past 7 years, that new democracy hasn't done enough. They are well targeted. They're well conceived. Remember in 2019, in his first Thessaloniki International Fair as Prime Minister, he was nickel and diming young people. He was giving them 3 gigabytes for their cell phones. And after the pandemic, he was giving them spending cards with a little bit of money on them, you know, maybe 100, 150 euros. Well, New Democracy has realized now that it's going to take much more and more structural things to undo decades of negligence towards the young. Because ultimately, every time you heard in the last 40 years a prime minister announce a new social benefit to public servants or a rise in pensions for the other very powerful special interest group that is retired people, 3 million today, every time you heard something like that, that was a check written in the name of people who are not yet 18 and couldn't vote. Well, those people are now 18, and many of them are voting to leave. So the bill is finally coming due to politicians, belatedly, I'm afraid, that they have to legislate for the young. And in doing so now, they're, of course, benefiting the generations to come. But those generations are, as a result of this negligence, becoming smaller. Greece had a little over 70,000 births in 2023. Before the financial crisis, it was 118,000, 120,000 live births a year. So that is the cost. That is the cost of 40 years of writing checks to people in the public sector, to pensioners, at the expense of people who couldn't vote and defend themselves from that.
I want to take a broader look at the economy and shift gears a little bit here, John, because we've seen Greece emerge from the financial crisis over the past 6 to 7 years with important milestones reached when it comes to debt reduction, when we talk about growth compared to its Eurozone partners, and when it comes to its credit rating. Do you see this latest package giving the economy as a whole the push that it needs moving forward?
This is a big question. It will certainly help. As I said, these reforms all nudge Greece a little bit closer, a little bit further in the right direction. Under the fear stated by Mitsotakis himself at the beginning of his speech of populism, which now threatens to bankrupt France. And let's not forget, here in Greece, 30% of the vote in 2023 went to anti-systemic parties on the left and right. So there is a constant threat to stable and responsible government. But the measures also recognize their own limits. I mean, Mitsotakis' chief virtue as a politician, I think, may be that he is a good judge of what he can and cannot do. So, for example, although he inducted evaluation of state employees eventually in his second term, we've yet to see anyone disciplined or fired. In fact, there's no discussion at all about one particular group of public sector protégés of the party system who simply don't show up to work. There's even a word for them. We call them argomisthi, workers who are paid without working. So I assume the party client system is still working well. There was also no discussion of judicial reform, which economists and the governor of the Bank of Greece, Yanis Tournaras, repeatedly have named as one of Greece's main liabilities in attracting investment. New Democracy has digitized the judiciary. It amalgamated certain courts of first instance, hoping to gain about a year in waiting time, but cases still take about 4 years from lawsuit to verdict, and they can take a lot longer. So again, there's a powerful social group here that does not admit of any but generational reform, and in so doing materially damages the nation's chances of survival. Let's compare, to take your question, you know, in a comparative way, Greece's career in the past two decades to Turkey's. Since 2002, Erdogan has doubled the size of the Turkish population and quadrupled its national product. Turkey is now a trillion-dollar economy. After bankrupting itself in 2010, Greece has only just regained its 2009 GDP, its national product. And that's not if we adjust for inflation. So it's been also overtaken by all its Eastern European neighbors in purchasing power parity, except Bulgaria. And these are countries that have been democracies and market economies for only 35 years. So something is clearly wrong with the Greek political class as a whole. This is not just a criticism of New Democracy or Mitsotakis. I do hope that enough of our politicians have enough sense to enact ever bolder reforms as Greek society slowly realizes the existential peril it faces and becomes more willing to back them. I would say, on the positive side, fiscal discipline, which is now a bipartisan consensus across, or tripartisan, across Syriza, Socialist, PASOK, and New Democracy, the centrist, let's say, parties, is the greatest political achievement of the crisis. It led to a lower debt-to-GDP ratio, balanced budgets, lower interest rates that Greece pays on its bonds. That means a lower cost to the taxpayer of public borrowing. That enabled tax cuts under Mitsotakis and a resumption of public investment in social services and growth. This has been our great achievement of the last 15 years. But the trouble is, we're not really willing to reform beyond what is absolutely necessary. We are a consensus political culture. We avoid confrontation. We like generational change so that everyone can age unmolested under the promises made to them in their 30s. And we like well-funded change so that everyone can be paid off, regardless of how deserving they are. In other words, we're the exact opposite of the revolutionary political culture of the United States. Some would say that's a good thing, looking at how desire for change was hijacked by populists there. But slow movement that inconveniences no one also has its perils.
John, beyond the economy, which we focused a lot on, and which was the focus primarily of Mitsotakis' keynote address in Thessaloniki, these announcements come as the prime minister also has one eye on the 2027 national elections. And while he has rejected the idea of snap elections or early elections, is he essentially setting the stage for 2027?
Absolutely, because you never stop campaigning as a politician, and Mitsotakis is a clever politician, although he repeatedly denied that he's campaigning. But if you read the speech carefully, he also says reforms take different times to mature. So he is preparing well in advance of 2027. A few things did stick out with respect to that coming political confrontation. He called for consensus with the opposition on certain things, particularly the way he wants to reform university entry. He wants it to be based on the national high school diploma rather than a grueling set of exams known as Panhellenius, which is the current system. But at the same time, he chastised the opposition for being basically useless. He said that they've got very few ideas, very few proposals. It's almost as though he was wishing for a better quality of opposition. And I think that is actually sincere. I think, yes, it benefits him politically to have a fragmented and unimaginative opposition. But I think he is genuinely worried about the populism that is now endemic to so many parties that succeed in entering parliament and climbing over the 3% of the public vote threshold to do so. I think that is alarming to a centrist politician of any color. And I think that that is why Mitsotakis feels that he must be campaigning all the time. He's fighting against a return of irresponsible government.
John, it's been great chatting. We'll be keeping an eye on all these developments. Thanks again for joining.
Thanks, Thano.
Taking us to our headlines for the day, officials in Benghazi have assured that the Libyan House of Representatives will not ratify the Turkey-Libya memorandum, a key concern for Greece amid rising Turkish influence. The assurances come as Prime Minister Mitsotakis formally expressed Athens' intent to deepen economic and broader ties with Benghazi during a meeting with Belgacem Haftar, director of Libya's Development and Reconstruction Fund and the son of military leader Khalifa Haftar. Finally, Turkish opposition lawmakers piled tables and chairs at the entrance of an office at their party's Istanbul headquarters on Monday to block police and prevent the replacement of a senior official whom a court ordered out last week. The dramatic footage of the barricade standoff marked the latest chapter in a nearly year-long crackdown on the main opposition Republican People's Party, during which hundreds of party members have been arrested and jailed. That wraps up today's episode of The Greek Current. Thanks for tuning in.